Okay, so this is Myra Nissen with the Nash School Liaison Program on Monday, March 17th, 2004, and we're here today with our guest, Dr. Robert Milo. And did I pronounce it right, your last name correctly?
It's Mello.
Mello, okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the homeopathic pharmacopoeia of the U.S. And its relationship with the FDA, and about homeopathic remedies in the United States. And Dr. Mello, you're the owner of Ohm Pharma in Texas, a homeopathic pharmacy in Texas. And I'm trying to find my notes. Fill me in. Oh, and you were raised in a family with a history of homeopathy. His father, uncle, and eldest brother were all MDs and with postgraduate studies in homeopathy. And he's a medical doctor trained in the conventional medicine at Xavier University in Bogota and University of Miami. And after medical school, he studied acupuncture and neural therapy in Colombia. And he completed studies in homeopathy at the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, where he also got involved in his research program led by Peter Fisher, director of research at the Royal London Homeopathic Hospital, and Dr. Flavio Dantas, professor of homeopathy at the University of Uberlândia from Brazil, specializing in homeopathic research. So can I just, can you start now? I won't
go through all of this.
It's great, and thank you for coming.
That's okay. Thank you for inviting me. Yes, let's go ahead. So we're going to talk about the legal status of homeopathic remedies here in the U.S. and the HPUS. What they do and how HPUS decisions and guidelines affect the availability and prices of homeopathic remedies. We're going to talk about the manufacturing guidelines in Europe compared to U.S. The new HPUS manufacturing guidelines and how this will affect homeopathic remedies availability. We're going to talk about FDA and specific guidelines pertaining homeopathic remedies. Also, the relationship between FDA and HPUS, homeopathic dispensing and liability issues, why homeopaths, industry, and education must work together to see homeopathy flourish in the future, about the certification and why it's important to work to establish homeopathy as a profession, and some other questions that you might have. So about the legality of the homeopathic remedies, they are over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. So that's the category where they've been since basically 1938. They were regulated by FDA. So they are prescription drugs, as you might know, over-the-counter. And then you have these herbal supplements and vitamins. So we are not herbal supplements. We are not vitamins. We are over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. That is regulated at a federal level in all the states. So one thing is the practice of homeopathy, which is it depends on each state, individual state, which they, you know, allow you to practice under certain guidelines, or the profession exists, or if it's a free health state, you can practice, or in some you cannot practice if you're not a medical doctor, if you don't have a healthcare license. Some you can be acupuncturist, chiropractor, some homeopath, that's fine. It depends really on the state, but the remedies is completely different. It does not depend on the state. It is a federal guideline, and it applies to all states. These are over-the-counter pharmaceutical products, like you would see acetaminophen, ibuprofen, this kind of category. That's why, you know, in the dispensing of homeopathic remedies, since they are in that kind of a category, you cannot really, you know, manufacture them, you know, in your house and dispense, like, because that would be like manufacturing ibuprofen for them. You know, we know it's not like that, but for them, you know, ibuprofen and arnica is pretty much the same. So the HPUS is the homeopathic pharmacopoeia of the United States. It's one of the oldest pharmacopoeias. It's a nonprofit, and they make a lot of decisions of what's going on with the manufacturing of homeopathic remedies. For some time, you know, it wasn't going on much with the pharmacopoeia, but recently there's been a lot of work because the market of homeopathic remedies have grown tremendously in the last decade or two. So basically the FDA, since there's a bigger exposure for to the people with homeopathic remedies, then FDA wants to regulate more the risk. Like, you know, if any company or any drug is marketed to many people, millions of people, then, you know, FDA needs to make sure that there's no risk for the people. Because in theory, that's their job, to look for the, you know, benefit of the people. So HPUS, well, the advantage that we have here in this country is that FDA respects very much what HPUS decides. So this is a huge advantage that not all the countries have. So basically, FDA delegates a lot of the decisions of homeopathic remedies based on what the pharmacopoeia says. Because FDA realizes that they are no experts in homeopathic medicine or homeopathic products. So with that, they delegate it into HPUS, which is great. So we, the homeopathic community, have a great tool, which is the HPUS. But somehow we're not, you know, using it so much. It was not much going on in the last years. One or two remedies were reviewed each year and added. But now things are changing. Why they are changing? Because there have been a lot of changes in Europe, in the manufacturing guidelines in Europe. And they've been gone very strict, the guidelines in Europe. So that is passing on to here. Why is passing down to here? Most of the members of the HPUS are from European companies. And they are transferring their regulations over there here, basically. That's how I see it. They want to make them equally strict here. There are not enough representation of the national industry, our U.S. national industry in HPUS. I'm one of the few representatives from the national industry, because this industry still is very small. We're just you know, a handful of manufacturers. But in Europe, there are it's a much older industry and much more powerful, much bigger. I mean, the biggest manufacturers are in Europe. So, of course, they have an influence in HQS and the decision, and the guidelines are since they changed there, then, you know, they're changing them here. They are pretty strict now. Just to give you an example of what's going on, for raw material, before you requested, you know, a certificate of analysis from the herb or whatever you were trying to get, a mineral, and you had to do identification tests here in the lab to make sure that, you know, whatever you're buying is correct. But now you require much more. You know, you're requiring a harvesting protocol, identification of a fresh plant, TLC, protected species certificate. There are a lot of testing of aflatoxins, heavy metals, pesticides, bromide. I mean, a lot of regulations. So the price of a raw material has increased substantially because the majority of the cost of a raw material is in testing now. So that makes it difficult and to have access to the raw materials. They're going to be very expensive. And if you're a big company that you produce millions of that product, then you can divide that in the millions you produce, and then, you know, the cost is not much. But if you're a small company, like here in the U.S., then the cost really escalates because you have to divide in smaller manufacturing batches. And that's for common remedies. But if you have an uncommon remedy, it's just impossible because then, you know, the raw material will cost so much to just do few remedies that it makes it not worth for the manufacturer to even provide that remedy. So that's very, that's not a good thing for the availability of homeopathic remedies here in the U.S. because it makes the manufacturers think twice, you know, in having. There's so many new guidelines that are being approved right now in HPUS. I am part of several committees in HPUS, and there's not much that it can be done. It's just passing, and then that, since I told you already, FDA respects a lot about what HPUS dictates. So probably, you know, it's going to be, well, most certainly it's going to be enforced by FDA. So this is new regulations for homeopathic manufacturing. Now, the other topic is about provings and how homeopathic remedies are included in the pharmacopoeia. So as I told you, it was very little, but, you know, they were passing like two or three remedies per year. Now the guidelines are even worse. Now their guidelines are very much stricter than before. Just to give you an idea of how to do a proving, let me read you some points that you need to cover. The qualification of the principal investigator and or investigator, the protocol for the homeopathic drug provings, the submission of the homeopathic drug proving to the HPCUS, the curriculum vitae of the principal investigator, protocol of homeopathic proving, final report of the homeopathic proving, persons responsible and contact address. Then you have to do the design, select the volunteers, minimum has to be 20, inclusion criteria, exclusion criteria, profile of the volunteer selection, study the medication, then you test the remedies, starting material. You have to start the starting material, manufacturer of the study, medication, lot numbers, potency, stability. You have to provide stability for the starting material, packaging label and expiration date, compliance, study plan, methods of examination, timeline for the homeopathic drug proving, course of the homeopathic drug proving, volunteer withdrawal and premature study termination, adverse effects, criteria of symptom selection, documentation, monitoring, protocol changes, biometric evaluation, estimation of sample size, coding and randomization, evaluation of symptoms, ethical and legal provisions, informed consent, and then it goes on. So basically, let's see, institutional review board, confidentiality, volunteer insurance, communication of study results, general direction agreements, and references. This will cost a lot of money to do approving. This is what I just read, cost a lot of money. So provings that are done by practitioners, you know, simple, without complying with all these, they will not be accepted by HVUS. Provings that are done in seminars, provings that are, no. It has to comply with all these. From where do all these come? It's based on the, you know, standard research of regular pharmaceuticals, trying to comply with the you know, gold standard of clinical research and randomization and clinical trials, and but that's very expensive. You know, pharmaceutical companies spend a lot of money doing those things. Now we're going to apply them into homeopathy. Not sure if that's a good idea, but that's how it's going.
Is there somewhere where we could get a list of that criteria?
Say it again, I'm sorry?
Is there somewhere we could get a copy of that criteria?
Oh, yes. Yes. They are open for the public on revision. There are some documents that you'll find in the HVUS website
that are
open for public comment. So I encourage you to go into the hpus.com website,
and
you'll find a lot of documents there, very useful documents. So there are new guidelines for making provings. There are new guidelines for manufacturing. You'll find them there. They are much more strict. So who's going to do the provings now? That's the question. Obviously, you know, companies that have the funds to do such provings, and that
that just throws out the whole trituration proving.
Oh yeah. No way to do trituration proving. No way to do. No. This is the only way. So you spend $20,000-$30,000 in a proving, or you don't do a proving.
Mhm.
So who's going to spend that money? Only a big pharmaceutical, homeopathic company, pharmaceutical that, you know, that has the funds to do that and have any reasoning to do that.
Yeah.
So there are companies that are doing these kind of provings because there has been a problem, and this goes to another topic, of homeopathic remedies that are included in HPUS and homeopathic remedies that are not included in HPUS. There are two categories that they were established by FDA in 1988, and they became enforceable in 1990. So if the product is included in the HPUS, basically FDA, it's okay. You know, again, they respect a lot the HVUS. They rely on the expertise of HVUS. So if it's in HVUS, it's fine. Basically, you can manufacture it in this country. Point. No question. Now, if it's not included in the HVUS, then they do not forbid it to be manufactured. You just need to have a lot of documentation to prove that what you're doing complies with the homeopathic principle, or if you have documentation from another country or another pharmacopoeia, then that's fine. FDA will evaluate that and then decide if they allow you to manufacture or not. Now, the problem is that when there's, again, there's a relationship between how strict it is, FDA, and the risk exposure. So if there's a lot of risk exposure, then FDA becomes more strict. And that has happened with many products that are in the market with high exposure that are non-HPUS, especially from foreign countries, manufacturers. So they've been in the market, and the market is growing, and FDA doesn't feel comfortable anymore with those products. So then they have told the manufacturer, okay, you better include that in the HPUS or you cannot sell them here in the States. So then the manufacturer is you know, they can do, they do the provings. It's no problem. And they are doing the provings right now in order to, put the remedies, insert the remedies in the HPUS. And then they can market them. So, but that also affects, how FDA thinks concerning all these remedies that are non-HPUS. So we will see more problems because that sort of sets a precedent. And we will see more problems with non-HPUS remedies. So that's a big issue that
we're What do you mean by problems?
Problems is that you cannot manufacture them.
Oh, manufacture them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to manufacture them unless you do approving.
Mhm.
And then you have to spend $20,000-$30,000.
Mhm.
So that's not good for the development of homeopathy. That's not good for the development of you know, the expansion of our remedies. You know, some people think that we have enough homeopathic remedies, but this is America. This is a free country. I mean, if somebody wants to do a remedy of something, you know, it should be possible. If you want to do, you know, this is the base of our country. So it seems like, you know, it's not going to be possible unless you invest in these kind of provings, which are very expensive. Which I feel I'm totally against that, but it's not much I can do. Then that will affect definitely the availability of homeopathic remedies that are non-HPUS. The part of homeopathic dispensing, and they say, okay, so I'm going to do it myself. Okay, that under the eyes of FDA, it's illegal. You're doing ibuprofen in your house. You cannot do that. Then, you know, there is a liability issue there. Because one thing is, okay, the practice of homeopathic remedies, that's sort of the practice of the profession of homeopathy, that is clear in some states, and in some others it's gray. It's a gray area. But homeopathic remedies, the manufacturing, no, there's no gray here. It's clear in all the states. So you, and then, you know, it's even more, you know, we have a problem with the practice that we want to, you know, legalize the profession and all that. So we don't want to get into another problem, which is the problem of the remedies, because then we would have two problems instead of one. So let's just stay with one problem and try to fix that and don't create another one. That's why I think that it's better to comply with what FDA argues about homeopathic remedies in. And that's my point of view. You know, try to comply. You know, the problem is that they are basing everything in HPUS, and HPUS is just making the guidelines much more strict, like they are in Europe, which I don't see, you know, the necessity of that. But you know, that's how it is. So the way that you know I see this is that, you know, the we need to try to work together, the homeopaths and the industry and the education. Because otherwise, you know, it's going to be very difficult for homeopathy to develop further, or at least to reach where we want homeopathy to be. So I think that if the, you know, the homeopaths come together and you know, everybody helps each other with you know, the industry, homeopaths you know, help the industry, and industry helps education, and it's a circle that it has proven to be effective. That circle, there are many countries that have taken that step, and the process, you know, after 10, 15 years, it's dramatic, the growth of homeopathy. But it's the only way if you work together. If we homeopaths, we just decide that we're gonna work by ourselves and do our own things, and we, you know, sometimes you find it common in our profession. Then basically everything gets sort of stuck, and it doesn't really further develop. It's only when homeopaths work with the education and the industry that, and I've seen it how it works, and it works pretty well. Here it's not the case. So I think we should try to move into that direction, and also, you know, the point of establishing homeopathy as a profession and the certification. I mean, that's very important for the government, for regulators. You know, a lot of people working on that direction, which is great. Why we do not have more medical doctors that are homeopaths? Well, the even if they want to become a homeopath, because I have many, you know, colleagues, and you know, initially they don't understand homeopathy, but then once they get it, and you know, they say, okay, you know, it's interesting. But some really don't really get into this just because of economical reasons. You know, they can't make a living out of homeopathy as medical doctors. They have to, you know, pay their insurances and their overhead and all that, and there's no way to make a living. Mostly because they have a big debt that they have from their medical study careers. So they cannot afford to do that. Most of the doctors that get into homeopathy is some years after, you know, they have paid their own loans, educational loans, and then they have they can take the risk, let's put it like that. What else we can say? So far, do you have any questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the pharmacy who does the test evaluation of the raw material. The pharmacy pays for that, the manufacturing pharmacy,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the manufacturer. You mean the manufacturer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The manufacturer needs to comply with a lot of new guidelines in testing. Yes. So yes, that's the one. The manufacturer needs to pay for that. Yes.
So the supplier doesn't have to cover any of those costs or do any sort of
testing
to prove that they have.
Yeah, they have to, but they will bill the manufacturer.
Uh-huh.
You can get the supplier, you know, to do certain things, and they say, okay, yeah, okay, we'll do this. Okay, we'll charge you.
Oh, okay.
That's. You see, that's a big issue, because you can find a supplier of a herb, But you know, they don't have the expertise, and they don't know about this, all these regulations, these testing, so they won't provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they won't provide it, then you cannot buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have to, you can buy from these suppliers, which they don't exist in America. They mostly are in Europe. This kind of suppliers that have these kind of expertise to do that. So
the source of the raw material for most of the remedies is Europe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, especially with the new guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they are. They already implemented these kind of regulations in Europe, not here. And here,
well,
the industry is very small compared to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible what's going on.
Is there anything about GMO in the guidelines?
Yes. These are in the harvest protocol. Yes, you cannot use GMOs. Yes, yes.
Great.
And they need to be organic. The raw materials.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to give you an idea, a more mundane idea of what's going on, you know, you could buy a liter of a in bulk, you know, you buy a, well, not a liter, you could buy a, let's say 200 milliliters of a tincture for $50 for as raw material. Now it will cost you $50 plus $600 in testing. So it will cost
mm-hmm.
you $650.
Mm-hmm.
And then you as a manufacturer, you purchase that, and then you as a manufacturer, you need to do some testing to corroborate that. So again, more expense. So it's going to be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you do 1 million doses, then it's fine. It's no problem. You divide, you know, 1 million doses into the 650 into 1 million doses. That's nothing. The problem is that if you do not do 1 million doses, if you do 10, then, you know, if you do 10 remedies, then, you know, you have to divide. 650 divided by 10. It's really... So, basically, yeah, you know, you really need to be a big company selling a lot in order to offset this kind of costs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would this be for newly proven remedies, or is this for everything?
Say it again. Is this for what?
Is this for newly proven remedies?
Oh, no, not new, no. All remedies. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So will it get more difficult to access what we're currently now available to access? Do you anticipate that to get more difficult?
It's going to be more difficult, yes, because there are more, much more regulations, yeah. Yeah, you know, once the regulations, they are not yet, you know, in place, but once they get in place, then, you know, it will be effective. And then, you know,
right.
it will affect all the homeopathic remedies.
And when do they come into effect? I noticed, I went on the line and their draft form.
Yes, they're in draft, but, you know... there's still drafts, but now the last versions are some last versions are ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say this year.
Mm.
Yeah, it's there's not enough representation again of the national industry in HVOS.
Yeah.
And because our industry is very weak compared to Europe, you cannot compare. It's a joke to compare the industries. You know, one is tiny bitty, the other one is huge. So and somehow you know, our industry is so small that you know, they're not even representation in the HVUS. So you know, I'm basically one of the few that represent national industry. But everything, you know, HBS is, is democratic, so everybody has a vote. So everything is done by voting. But if we don't have representations, then you can imagine what happens with the votes. So that is an issue that you know I'm there, you know, I'm you know, because in some countries, as I have proposed, you know, in some countries, because I've been dealing with regulations and in different countries and all that for many years. In some countries, there are divisions on risk analysis based on production, annual production numbers. So if you have a big production lot, meaning a high risk because you're exposing many people, then, you know, certain guidelines apply. But if you're a small manufacturer, then, you know, you are exempt from following, you know, all the guidelines because you wouldn't be able to do it them anyway. You'd be out of business. So there are certain guidelines, you know, that are for everyone. But some others, you know, if you are just doing very small quantity of remedies, then, you know, you should be, you know, you comply with identification, with certain things that are, you know, basic. But you don't have to comply with the, everything. So I've proposed that, but I guess I don't have enough votes for that to pass.
Hmm.
So it's an issue, it's an issue. And then, you know, then it comes, you know, our industry that is pretty weak. And then, you know, I understand that in America, how homeopathy developed, you know, in rural America, is that, as Mara was saying, you know, there was no way of getting remedies in rural America. That's why it spread in the 1800s pretty well. It was a necessity. Homeopathy filled that void, that necessity, and spread very much in the 1800s. And people were doing their own remedies. There was no other way. Now, in present time, that's not the case. You know, yes, we do not have pharmacies all over like it's in Europe, but we have FedEx, UPS, and USPS. We have courier services that work pretty good. So maybe we should, you know, we should try to come together, you know, industry, homeopaths, and education, and work together, because that's the only way that homeopathy will progress. You know, if you take a weak industry, and then you take the homeopaths, and they do not support the industry because everybody does their own homeopathic remedies, then the industry cannot grow. The industry cannot grow, then, you know, education cannot grow. And then the profession cannot grow. So I've seen those examples when, you know, the practitioners, industry, and education work together. I mean, it's amazing the results that you see in 10, 15 years. The growth of the profession is incredible. It has happened. It's proven in other countries, not here.
What do you recommend homeopaths do to get involved?
They need to, there are many things. One, they need to work together to, as what Nash is doing, you know, trying to solidify the profession. That's very important. Certification, all these, and then, you know, homeopaths need to support the industry, and the industry needs to support the homeopaths. And then homeopaths need to support education. Education supports, it's a whole circle. We all need to support each other. Otherwise, you know, look what is happening. It's not good what is happening. Now you want to do a proving? Okay, you have to spend so much money. Now you want to include a new remedy in the HBS? Well, a lot of money. Now you want to manufacture a homeopathic remedy. Wow. Very expensive. Everything is getting more and more, more difficult, more expensive. So if we do not support each other, then, you know, we won't make it. Oh, basically, you know, it's only going to be, available through big European companies. Because they do have the funds to do all these. For them, it's no problem. Because they're very big compared to the national industry here. So that's one thing that the homeopath should do. The other thing that homeopath should do is to record the data that each one is having. That this is another topic that is very important for homeopathy. We need to start recording the data and showing a retrospective that it works. Because, you know, we're used to prospective analysis, going to the future and doing clinical trials and, you know, double-blind, placebo-controlled. That doesn't work very well for homeopathy, as we all know. But it also doesn't work well for allopathic remedies, as now we see. You see, this gold standard is proven not to be effective in allopathic medicine either. You know, I just recently read a book, and I highly recommend it to you. It's Bad Pharma. The author is a physician, British physician, Ben Goldacre, and he talks about all the faults in this gold standard of research, which is double-blind controlled, placebo controlled.
What was his name?
Say it again.
What was the author's name?
It's Ben Goldacre.
G-O-L-D-A-C-R-E?
Yes. Bad Pharma.
Bad Pharma. Okay.
Yeah. So it shows all the, you know, what is very well written, very well documented. How the system, the model of the research that we do in medicine is just faulty. It doesn't work. So there is a model that I think it works, and it's the retrospective model. It's what already happened. It has less bias. So if we as a profession would, you know, start recording the data in an organized way, you know, we would get a lot out of that. Because nowadays with technology, you can do it, you know, in a computer and with a database. It will help the practitioner to audit their own practices, but also it will help homeopathy to show the effectiveness of a treatment. So in the old days, you know, that was the least scientific that you could do was a retrospective case analysis study. Well, now I think it's one of the best things because the other has proven not to work. So that's another thing that homeopaths, should do. So we should concentrate in recording the data of the clients or patients that we see and supporting each other, supporting, what NASH does, supporting the industry. It's very important because we have a very weak industry, and if we don't support the industry, then nothing is going to grow. And then, of course, support the education. One goes to the other. That's why I sometimes say that, you know, this is the $7 that kills homeopathy, the price that we're paying $7, you know, because they say, for what I'm going to spend $7, I better do it myself, I save some money. Really? But you are halting the progress of homeopathy. See, we need the industry. We need somebody to do proving, somebody to do all these. Otherwise, then we don't do anything, then nothing progresses and doesn't grow.
You're right about that. I am surprised that homeopaths that resist buying remedies from pharmacies.
Yes,
not
yes,
supporting
yes.
our pharmacies.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And but this is very dangerous. extremely dangerous to do that, because I've seen it. I've seen it. This is very, it's a dangerous path, you know. Let's assume you get a manufacturer, you know, they have to pay, you know, $650 for a raw material, and then you buy one tube. That's it. You know, how can that be? It's not viable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to support that industry. That's very, very important. Otherwise, we will not progress. You know, you save $7, yeah, but at the end, you're really killing homeopathy. You know, that's what is happening. And it sounds very strong, but I've seen it. I've seen it out of experience, and I've seen what happens in other countries when it turns around. It is magic, you know, what happens. You know, you see flourishing, you know, homeopathy. You know, you see more practitioners, you see more industry, more pharmacies, more schools. It's like a nice garden in spring. Yeah, that's what it is. But if you don't do that, then, you know, it's really terrible. It's not the way. I mean, I understand that it was in the 1800s here in this country that it spread like that. But right now, we're in 2014. So we don't have the excuse that, oh, it's because it's not available. No, you can get a remedy next day. So it's a bit of that, you know, of trying to help homeopathy grow. It's all about that. And then, you know, people would, you know, industry helps, education helps. Then the practitioner, you know, educates himself better. You know, then he has better therapeutic results. Then he has more money to spend in his own education. It's a cycle that is retro. Feeds each other. So, because look what is going on. And you know, this that I'm telling you about with the new regulations, it's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. It's another thing that is happening. Expiration date, as you might know, homeopathic remedies in this country are exempt from expiration date.
Oh, but I've seen them on bottles.
Right. Some manufacturers can opt to put it, but it's not required by law.
Okay.
Now it will be required by law.
Oh, now it will be required.
Yeah, now it will be required. Now, what happens with that? What happens is that in order to put an expiration date in a remedy, you're going to have to do stability testing for each individual remedy.
Oh, so that you know how long each remedy will be viable.
Right. The problem is that you cannot test the finished product, effectiveness of a finished product, of a 30C.
Right.
You cannot test it. If it's effective, you cannot say, oh, I did a test, and then I concluded that after 5 years, my Nux Vomica 30C is inactive. There's no test to tell you that. That was the reasoning behind exempting the homeopathic remedies from expiration dates. Now, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to do stability tests for all the single remedies, even if you cannot prove it. So that's... Also, that's extra. There are so many regulations that are coming extra. It will just obviously it will increase the price of homeopathic remedies. You have to do all these stability testing for other remedies. That is expensive. You have to have a stability chamber that runs 24 hours a day with a set temperature and humidity. And you have to put all the remedies there and continually test every month.
But yeah. How are you going to know unless you do
well,
another
proving?
Well,
you're
going to
test the micro. You just test the micro, do micro testing, and then you do just physical testing and alcohol testing. But you cannot test the active pharmaceutical ingredient, the API. You cannot test the Nux Vomica. So you're going to spend a lot of resources doing this testing.
Huh. Okay.
At the end, you know, what? You know, not much, but you're going to conclude. But now it's going to be required.
Huh.
In a way, it doesn't make sense to have an expiration date for a homeopathic remedy. You cannot test the active pharmaceutical ingredient. So what? You know, we've been doing it for 200 years like that. Nothing has happened. Okay, now it's going to be required.
Do other countries have expiration dates on them?
Yes. In fact, yes, they do have expiration dates. So now here in the States, they're going to take that route also to enforce that. But that will affect the manufacturing. So it will get, you know, tougher to manufacture homeopathic remedies. So if the industry has this burden that it needs to comply, but if the industry does not have that support of the homeopaths, then, you know, that's not a good combination to have. So, it's not so good. You know, I wish I had better news. But,
you're not giving us very good news, Paul.
Say it again?
You're not giving us very good news.
No. These are not very good news. No. It's much more regulation, much more. It's not good. But,
so
that, I mean, the only solution is that we come together and you know, and I would like to see more of the, you know, national industry involving in the HPUS and you know, and they get their support by their practitioners and, you know, coming together. That's the only solution, to come together.
Yeah, well, we have to be very careful, because that's what happened in allopathic medicine in this country. And I'm sure that's what that book talks about, when the industry starts educating the physicians.
Right. You see,
out of control.
Yes, good point. You see, in allopathic medicine, there's been a lot of problems that we've seen. Like when I was talking about clinical trials and all that, you know, we've seen in the last 50 years a lot of problems that have caused allopathic medicine to go on the wrong way. So we have that as an example. And we should be very careful to take only the positive things of what has happened and not the negative things of what has happened. You know, obviously, the industry took over all the allopathic medicine. Took over completely, 100%. And that is a big mistake.
My concern with that is that it's going to be the manufacturer that's going to need more money if so much is put on him.
Yes.
And money talks. So that's what happened with the drug companies. When they become overregulated, they need the money, and then they start driving the show.
Exactly. That's why we must be very careful not to go there. Exactly. And they end up driving the whole show. And you know, that there's a complete unbalance in allopathic medicine, which is causing the show to crash. It gets completely unbalanced. That's why it's very well documented in this book about bad pharma. How the balance is like, you know, practitioners, medical, they're all victims. And how I see a practitioner or a medical, it's just a victim of the system. They are the ones that, you know, they don't count because the industry took over. So we must be careful not to let that happen in homeopathy. We cannot let the industry take over the profession. But
that's what I think what you say is very important about showing retrospectively what works. I mean, to be putting everything on the manufacturer, it'd be nice if even in the schools, if we could, like when we have clinic patients, if we could track the success of what the remedy with that patient
Yes.
in a way that could be adopted by the manufacturer.
Exactly. That is very important. All this documentation is very, very important. And I'm trying also to pass that, because there's one way of sort of analyzing this data that maybe we could get that data to be so valid that it could only, like that data for a new remedy, we could include it in the HUS just with retrospective analysis. Which would be great because then a practitioner could do that in his own practice and say, okay, I want to do approving of the well, not approving. It's more of a sort of a testing because we would be doing it with not with healthy individuals but with patients and mm-hmm. see what happens. And then if it goes well, then you know we could take that information and you know try to analyze it and try to include that remedy in the HUS without the other expenses.
But so how is the HPUS getting the word out about this?
In the website. You need to
just
go
the
to the website. Yeah, just use and see.
You're not outreaching to
other.
No.
I've tried to do that. You know, I'm trying. You know, why the HPUS does not outreach and you know try to I that was my point. And I must say that I just joined last year HPUS.
Mm-hmm.
So I was late, very late. I should have joined before. I was always complaining. Oh, look at this, the HPUS, you know, why don't they do this? Then I figure out, you know, I better stop complaining. I better join. And, you know, try to do the things, you know, in another way. And that's what I'm trying to do. But we need more people, you know. And the precisely that I told the HPUS, why aren't you outreaching? We don't have the time, we don't have the funds, we don't have this or that.
Hmm.
Well, it would be good if the schools could get a representative on the HPUS.
Yes, you can, you know, yes, we need people in HPUS, you know, the school can have a representative there, just a practitioner, a homeopath can be there, you know, it's not that this is a very, you know, restricted, that you know, nobody can enter. No, you can enter. So, you know, please join because, you know, otherwise, you know, this is democratic, I tell you. If the votes are not there, then whoever has majority of votes, that's what it passes. It's very democratic, and that is very good, but, you know, if you don't have the vote, and nothing happens.
What does HPUS stand for?
Sorry?
What does HPUS stand for?
Oh, Homeopathic Pharmacopeia of the United States.
I'm sorry, homeopathic what?
Pharmacopeia.
Of
the United States.
Oh.
And the website is HPUS.com.
Well,
HT,
I was writing a B as in boy, HT.
No, it's P. P like pharmacy, pharmacopoeia.
Okay.
So we. I mean, this is great what we have. I mean, FDA is giving us HPUS. You know, it's such a wonderful tool. But we are not taking advantage of that. We are not taking advantage of the opportunity that FDA is giving us. And then we just complain, oh, it's FDA. No, it's not FDA. You know, FDA goes through HPUS. So, you know, we need to be proactive. We need to join HPUS and try to make things work for our own community, our own, you know, standards, our own practices, our own, you know. I know people do a lot of provings. Yeah, would they discuss? In HPUS, you know, no. We're just adopting European, guidelines. That's what we're doing.
Hmm.
And they're very strict. Very strict. So, again, you know, we must find a balance between industry, the profession, and education. If we can reach that, then, you know, that's the secret. And they should be, like, you know, equal powers. It's like government, you know. If you let one branch of government be stronger than the others, then, you know, that creates a problem.
More of a checks and balance.
Exactly. It needs to be checks and balances. Well, here also, you need checks and balances. Otherwise, you know, it happens bad things, what has happened with allopathic medicine. It's completely unbalanced, totally unbalanced. This book is really, really good, Bad Pharma. It starts with saying, okay, I'm angry writing this book, and I hope you are angry when you finish reading it. And yes, you end up, you know, very angry with the industry. With the industry. So, you know, we must not allow that to happen in homeopathy. But the good thing is that we have those kind of examples. We already know that, you know, an unbalanced equation is not good. So we need to try to balance. It's really, we're in a wonderful position because we do have examples. We know it doesn't work like that. So, you know, let's try to just take the positive and you know, apply to homeopathy. Then we would, you know, we would really do great. But it's a long process, and definitely it needs teamwork. If we homeopaths do not learn to work in a team, we will not accomplish what we expect, where we expect to see homeopathy in the future. We need to learn to work as a team. So it's important these you know, communities, NASH, you know, study groups. Homeopaths say, "Oh, I feel alone by myself." Well, yeah. So join something. You know, join NASH, join a community. You know, come together. The only way. Otherwise, you end up in your room, you know, just seeing your clients, patients, doing your own remedies in your little thing, and, you know, like away from the world. That's not going to help homeopathy. It's not going to even help you.
No, they'll be illegally practicing, they'll get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need serious work. In how we and where we want to see homeopathy to go. Again, FDA is giving us a terrific opportunity, which is HPOS. Terrific.
I hope you're speaking at the conference.
No.
Your message is important.
Yes.
And
yes,
and
I know.
I'm,
I know my message is.
We're putting this is going to be on the NASH website for all the NASH members.
Great, 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 I hope. Because I know that, yes, my message is very important because it lies on, you know, the future of homeopathy lies in our hands. We cannot blame anybody else. We cannot blame FDA.
Right.
No. It's our hands. You want to do something, join HPUS or get somebody to join and let's, you know, do something for homeopathy. Be proactive. We're just waiting here, being passive. You know, I'm so upset with all these topics because, you know, where is the industry? Where is the national industry? Why are not there? Why they are just passive, waiting for see what happens and how the regulations are. And what is, you know, submitted, and that's it, where they are. You know, it's so upsetting for me to see that there's no cooperation, and you know, then we are just whatever the other foreigners want to establish for us. This is not America. You know, we do our own things, and you know, we select our own things, and so yes, it's important that we get ourselves moving, because look what is happening, and that will affect the availability of remedies.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and speaking. I'm going to take us off the recordings and we'll continue our discussion.
Okay.
So just a minute.